Welcome to another broadcast from LifePoint Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Wherever you are at this point in life, we pray that God will use the following message as a source of help and encouragement as you listen. Please stay tuned at the end of today's broadcast to learn how God can use you to impact the lives of people around the world. And now, here's today's message.
Amen. Thank you so much. Please have a seat. Thank you, music team, for such a beautiful, beautiful time of worship together this morning. What incredible reminders those songs are for us of how much Jesus loves us, what he's done for us. I love that song that we sang. I haven't heard that in quite a while, a second to the last one. The words in that song are so powerful, reminding us of how Jesus bore the weight of our sin and shame on the cross. Maybe you've had one of those kind of weeks that we talked about in that song where the world has tried to steal your joy away. There probably aren't very many weeks that go by that doesn't happen. As we live in this world, really as strangers and foreigners, the Bible says, as aliens here in this world, there are so many things that can take place that will try to rob us of the joy that we have. And I'm so thankful for opportunities like this where we can gather together and we can push all that aside for an hour or so and spend some time together focusing on the reality of what we have in Christ. And what he's done for us. I hope that you're thankful for that this morning. You know, we don't have to wait till Thanksgiving to give thanks for things like that. Just hearing those songs and hearing you sing today made me incredibly grateful for Jesus and for who he is and for what he's done for me personally and for you. And I pray if you don't know him today, that you'll open your heart and your life to him this morning before you leave here and begin a brand new relationship and a brand new life. We are in a series asking the question, what does God want? We've been looking at some core values that we want to see developed and come to maturity in all of us here at LifePoint as followers of Christ. And I was encouraged this morning by my friend Jeff Adams. I don't know if you know Jeff. He plays the bass for us a lot. He's a wonderful guy. I've really come to love him and appreciate him. And he shared a great story with me this morning that a friend of his in Romania contacted him and said, "Hey, I just wanted to let you know that we listen online and we've been taking this series that you're going through and actually handwriting it out in Romanian and making copies for our people, and we're using it for discipleship training classes for our new believers to kind of get them off in the right direction." What an exciting thing to know that from this 30-year-old office park, what God is doing in different corners of the world through your faithfulness. We got an email this week also from a pastor in, I think it was South Korea. Nathan, do you remember? Oh, Nathan's working with the kids today. Okay, I believe it was South Korea who emailed us and just said, "Hey, I want to thank you for your podcast." And it was kind of a cute email. He said, "You know, I've been stealing some of your sermons and preaching them over here, and I just wanted to kind of ask your permission and thank you for that." And it was like, yeah, absolutely, you know, go for it. And so listen, I'm telling you, we hear from people all over the world. I think this week we got emails from Ghana. I don't even remember where all. But every week we hear from people on different corners of the planet that God is taking your faithfulness through this little body of believers, and he is multiplying it in ways that none of us are smart enough to do on our own. So I just want to share that with you today and say hi to all those folks over there in Romania, South Korea, Ghana, everywhere else who are kind of joining with us each week as we fellowship here. And we're so thankful for that. So as I said, we've been going through some messages talking about some values to point us in the direction of what does God really want? Why are we here? What is this all about? What does my life mean? How does my life and the routine and the daily grind of my life, how does that, and does it really even matter in the grand purpose of God? Well, the first value we looked at a couple weeks ago was for us to passionately pursue God. And if you've missed any of these, I would encourage you to go online and catch up so that you can kind of stay in step with where we're headed here. These sermons all build one upon the other like stepping stones, and so it's important that we're all on board, all on the same page, moving in the same direction. So we talked about the importance for all of you to passionately pursue God during the week on your own, not just to depend on what you hear here on Sunday mornings for your entire spiritual growth. Pursue God on your own. Why? Because God wants to speak to you personally, directly. He wants to guide your life, and that will not happen merely by coming here for an hour on Sundays and listening to some guy speak. But it will happen when you open that word, the Bible, and begin to read it for yourself. God will speak to you. He will give you wisdom and direction for your life. The second value we looked at last week was the importance of living connected. Living connected, not doing life alone. We talked about the dangers of trying to do the Christian life on your own and the benefits that come from living connected, how we can be an encouragement and a blessing to others, how others can keep a watch over our life to keep us from getting derailed. You know, the Bible says, we all have a tendency to drift astray. That's our natural pull, to drift away. And so it's important that we live connected with other believers, but then just as important, we closed last week by saying that it's just as important for us to live connected with people outside of here. The people who need what we have, Christ in us. We're going to talk about that this morning. And for us to live connected with the world so that we can be on mission with God and accomplishing what He wants to accomplish. So today, we move to the third of these five values we're going to be talking about. And I want to talk this morning for a few minutes about engaging our spirit giftedness. Engaging our spirit giftedness. Hey, let me ask you, how many of you grew up in a house with one of those plastic-covered couches? Or maybe you had a grandma with a plastic-covered couch? Pam, you got five kids. Do you have a plastic-covered couch? You should have one. You really should, out of all of us here. Maybe you had a grandmother, and when you went to visit her, maybe she had one of those plastic-covered couches. You know what I'm talking about? People under 20 are looking at me like I have no idea what you mean. Listen, this was a big thing when we were growing up. I never understood it. As a matter of fact, I remember one family when I was a kid. We used to go visit every once in a while. They had a plastic-covered couch that you couldn't even sit on. You weren't allowed to sit on it. In fact, it was weird. I still remember this as a kid, walking into the house. They had this like parlor or something to the right, like a little living room that was never used. You remember that? The carpet on the floor was perfectly vacuumed. You could see the rows, and nobody was allowed to walk on it. And as a kid, you know, that's just torture because you're thinking, what are they hiding in there? Are there dead bodies? Are there, why can't we go in there? And I still remember, it's so weird, I still remember the color of their couch, and it was perfectly covered in that plastic. You couldn't sit on it. It never was used for what a couch was designed to be used for. Are you tracking with me so far? It was made to be a couch. It was made to serve a purpose. But it was never used for what it was designed for. I talked to you one time about how every Christmas and some Easters at our house, these special towels come out. And they just appear in our bathrooms. And heaven help you if you dry your hands on those towels. They're ornamental towels. I didn't know this until I married Sandy. I really didn't. I didn't know there were such things as ornamental towels. I grew up seriously as a poor kid on the mission field. I'm not kidding you. You should see some of the photos of when I was growing up. Rough times. If we had a towel, you could wipe your hands on it. There was no ornamental anything in our house. Everything was a necessity. But when I got married, I remember the first year, Christmas, these really nice, nice towels showed up with little Christmas trees and stuff on them. Well, I'm such a moron, I'm washing my hands, and I reach over to dry the towels, and, you know, you hear this voice say, "Don't touch the towels." And so I began to learn that there were certain seasonal things that you don't mess with. They're there, and they look like they're supposed to be used, but they're just ornamental. Hey, I want to say to you this morning, you and I, as followers of Christ, were never designed to be ornamental Christians. We were made for a purpose. God wants to use your life. He does not just want you to be on display. He has a purpose for you. We were called into action. Ephesians 4:16 puts it this way. From Him, that is from Jesus, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love. How? Watch this. As each part does its work, or as each part does its job, or as each part fulfills its role. Now, just to be clear, if you're visiting here, you may not know what we believe on this. If you've been here for more than a few weeks, you know what we believe on this. When we talk about each part, each one of us doing our work for the Lord, we are not talking about trying to do enough good works to earn your way to heaven. The Bible's clear on that. We cannot do enough good works to earn our way to heaven. We are saved by faith alone in Jesus Christ, not by works. What we're talking about here is the importance of us engaging with what God is doing in the world, in our communities, in our schools, in our local businesses, engaging with what He is doing so that He can move through us to accomplish what He wants to accomplish. Now, normally, when pastors talk about spiritual gifts, they talk about them only in terms of getting people to serve in their church on Sunday mornings. I would say to you that God is much bigger than that. And God is up to things that are far broader than that. God's plan is much, much larger than just getting people to use their spiritual gifts on Sunday mornings. Now, I will say this. Yes, we and all other churches need your help here on Sundays. We do. In fact, if I could just take a moment to share with you one of our needs right now, is in our children's ministry. Surprise, surprise. If you've been in churches at all, you know that the greatest ongoing need for churches always seems to revolve around children's ministry. At Life Point, children's ministry is vital to us. It's absolutely vital. We put a lot of time, a lot of resources into that because we truly believe in that ministry for the future of all of our kids. And you need to know that when people are back there on Sundays with your children, they're doing more than just babysitting your kids. They're truly making an investment into the lives of your children. And it's one of the most important things that we do here on Sunday mornings is our children's ministry. And we do have a need here for volunteers, for more help. I spoke with our children's ministry leaders this week to get some information from them. I'm going to share that with you in just a second before we move on to the real meat of this message. But I want you to know, you don't need to have children to help in our children's ministry. We have high school students, college students, we have singles, we have young marrieds with no kids, we have older folks who are past that stage of life who don't have kids at that age. All of those people from all those groups are all helping back there in our children's ministry. If you do have kids in LifePoint's children's ministry, then we really do want you to be involved back there, to help out on Sundays. If you're coming here week after week and allowing us to feed you, then what we would ask of you is to take a week, a month, or whatever it works out to be, to help go back there and feed them. Now, if you're mean to kids, we don't want you back there, okay? Just make that clear right now, okay? If you're mean to kids, just don't, please, don't volunteer, don't go back there. We don't need your help. But if you're, you know, if you're caring and loving and a thoughtful person, even if you're not great with kids, I've shared with you the story of me when I first got married, helping Sandy in the children's ministry. And, you know, I was not great with kids back then. I didn't even really kind of notice kids at that age of my life. But I went and I served, and we served back there for several years. And I'm telling you, it was a great experience for me. God used that tremendously in my life. And some weeks, honestly, I'd rather be back there working with the kids than working with you. I just, I don't mean that in a bad way. I'm totally just kidding about that. You know, kids, though, they're just so open. They're like sponges. And what an important age. And, you know, we could say, hey, we need help in our children's ministry, and I could get up here for 30 minutes and make you feel guilty about it, and we could have people back there serving with a bad attitude, and, well, I guess I have to do this. But really, listen, what an incredible opportunity to invest in the lives of boys and girls, to invest in their salvation and their spiritual growth. Hey, parents, I'm looking around at some of you whose kids have come to know Jesus back there as a result of our children's ministry here at LifePoint. Would you take anything for that? Absolutely not. What an investment, what an opportunity for us to be involved. And I want to say thanks to all of you who do help already, who so faithfully serve in our children's ministry. I mean, we are dependent on you and so grateful to you for the investment that you make every week. But here, I just want to share with you real quickly before we move on some of the needs that we have currently, just so we can kind of get a specific look at this. In our nursery, right now we need 3 more people on the rotation. In toddlers, we need 2 more people. In preschool, we need at least 2 people. They could use 3 more people. And in elementary, we need 2 more people. They would love to have 4 more people. And you're never put back there by yourself. You're always with someone else. There's a lot of reasons for that. But you co-work with others back there. Now listen, if I've added that up right, at a minimum, we need 9 people. That's a huge number for this church. It's a huge number. We need 9 people who would be willing to step up and go, you know what, once a month or once every 6 weeks or whatever it falls out to be, I'll be happy to not have to listen to Phil. This is actually an escape, guys. You might want to take it while the getting's good. I'll be happy to invest once a month or once every 6 weeks to go and use my spirit giftedness. And am I saying you have to have a spiritual gift of children's ministry? Absolutely not. You just need to have a willing heart, have a good attitude, and as Johnny says, be, you know, have an evangelistic heart, one that wants to see kids come to know Christ. So I just want to throw this out this morning as we're talking about engaging our spirit giftedness. Yes, it's bigger than just what we do here on Sunday morning, but what we do here on Sunday morning is vital. And we need people to jump in and help. If you know what I'd love to see? I'd love to see 10 people step up today and go, absolutely, I would love to help. And if you would like to do that, there's the guy you talk to. Isn't that a handsome guy? He's almost as handsome as me, but not quite. Johnny Hall is the person you need to talk to. And you can catch him after the service. He's here today, back from China with us today, and we're very glad that he's here. But talk to Johnny after the service today if you can help. And there's his email address if you miss him today and would like to contact him. I would love to see a bunch of people just step forward and go, man, I'm going to help fill that gap for our children's ministry and make sure that our kids are ministered to. You know, here's the thing, church. Listen, God never intended for 20 or 30% of his people to serve everybody else. He really didn't. You know the old 20-80 rule you've heard of in churches? It's true. It exists. That's an actual statistic. That 20% of the people do 80% of the work. Guys, I'm going to tell you something. That breaks the heart of God. When he sees 20 or 30% of his people having to serve everybody else, there's no way that a church like that can ever truly be healthy. It's vital that each of us do our part within the church so that others don't have to carry the whole load. Here's one more verse to chew on. 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." Hey, let me ask you real quick before we move on. Are you doing your part here? Are you playing your part in some way here at LifePoint to make sure that the other 70 or 80% is not a percentage that you're part of? To make sure that those 20 or 30% are not having to pull the load for the entire church? If you've just, you know, maybe you've just kind of spent your whole life as a church attender kind of thing, then I would say that it's probably time for you to ask yourself whether you've ever really engaged with what God is doing and with what he wants to do in your life. If you're not intentionally pursuing that as part of your life, then I would say to you, really, that you're cheating God and you're robbing the body of a vital, vital part. So it is critical that we help here on Sunday mornings, but I want to spend our remaining minutes today talking about something much bigger than what happens here on Sundays. I want to emphasize to you today that our spirit giftedness, engaging our spirit giftedness, is bigger than what we do here on Sundays, because people out there need to be touched with the love of Jesus. We've been asking the question, what does God want? And I don't know if you remember the answer that we've been covering every week so far. What does God want? Because it's a vital question. If we kind of cruise through the Christian life thinking we know what God wants and aiming for the wrong target the entire time, then really we failed in our Christian lives. We failed as a church. What does God want? It's a vital question for all of us to answer. First week, remember, we tossed out some possibilities. What does God want? God wants cooler, hipper, more high-tech church services. Is that what he wants? He's sitting up in heaven going, man, if they would just take it up a notch. That's what I want. Is that what God wants? That's not what God wants. God wants more Christian institutions to be built so we can all hunker down together and close ourselves off and fill our heads with knowledge for the rest of our life and never do anything with it. Is that what God wants? No, here's what God wants. God is on a mission to redeem mankind to himself. And what God wants, listen, this is important, is for every man, woman, and child to have the repeated opportunity to see, hear, and respond to the gospel without them having to come or go anywhere. That's what God wants. How is God going to do what he wants? Here's where the rubber meets the road. God is going to do what he wants through all of his people, the church. God's not going to show up on Thursday morning at 9:15 in the sky with 1,000 angels singing the Hallelujah chorus and asking people to believe on him. God is going to do what he wants through you and through me, engaging with what he's up to in this world and moving in such a way about our week that God is able to flow through us and touch the lives of other people. And so when we talk about engaging our spirit giftedness, it's so much bigger than Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, where it lists out the specific spiritual gifts. We've taught on that before, but it's so much bigger than that. When we talk about, and these words are used intentionally, engaging our spirit giftedness, not just taking a test and finding out what your spiritual gift may be. That's important. And we have those here for you, by the way, if you want to take one. They're great. They're very helpful to just kind of point you in the right direction. But it's so much bigger than that. When we talk about engaging our spirit giftedness, what we're really talking about is saying to God, God, I want to live so connected each day with you, with what your heartbeat is, and with what you want to accomplish in this community and in this world. I want to live so connected with you that at any given moment during my week, if you need someone in Greenville to touch the life of someone else, I just want you to know, God, I'm available. Now, that's when we get past this thing of, well, okay, God gave me the spiritual gift of whatever, so I guess I better use it on Sunday morning. It's bigger than that. What if the entire church said, man, I'm going to take this seriously. I'm going to figure out what it means to engage my spirit giftedness throughout the week, not just here, so that when God needs a person in Malden or Simpsonville or Anderson or wherever it happens to be, in a moment's notice, God can tap you on the shoulder and say, hey, I need you right now. Touch that person's life. You go, I'm on it. I'm on it because I am engaging my spirit giftedness to be a vessel that God can use. God wants to put the gospel on display through your life and through my life. Man, I had an unbelievable opportunity to see this in action this week in my life. Let me share this story with you. Okay, I've told you a whole bunch of bad stuff about me over the years, right? So I get to share one this week that I actually didn't mess it up. And God, I think, did an okay thing through me this week. So this is not about me. I just want to share with you opportunities that we can have. So both our cars have been acting crazy and falling apart and doing all that stuff. And I'm driving along in mine for forever now with, you know, the check engine light coming on and off and just thinking, okay, just hold it together, man. It's, you know, we can go a few more miles on this one. It's cool. So I'm driving this week, Thursday. I've got a meeting in about an hour and a half. I'm taking care of some stuff, and the car just starts jumping and, you know, doing all kinds of weird noises. I'm thinking, oh, come on. So I'm, you know, I'm busy. I'm in a rush like always, and the car, I know the car is about to die. So I'm driving down the road, and I pass a just kind of a garage service station thing. I pull in there. I go, you know, talk to the guy, let him know. He goes, yeah, we'll take a look at it. And so now I walk into this little waiting room. I sit down. There's other people sitting in there. And first, I'm just, you know, I'm kind of doing the whole frustrated thing. Like, oh, I've got 18 million things to do today. This was not one of them. And so I'm like, I get my phone out and I start making some calls and go, hey, this is what's going on. I'm probably not going to make it. I'll let you know, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, people are sitting there reading their Field and Stream that's 10 years old and watching whatever goofy talk show they had on TV. And so I'm sitting there and I don't know, there's probably six people in the waiting room or so. And I just kind of happened to look over, and I don't know why, you know, well, I do know why. The Holy Spirit drew my eyes to this woman, probably in her late 50s, sitting there. And out of all the people in the room, I just kind of kept feeling this sense of, I don't know, something going on with her. And she wasn't reading a magazine. She wasn't watching TV. She was just kind of staring at the floor the whole time. And I just, you know, could almost see this dark cloud around her. Just this sense of, I don't want to go too far, but just almost a sense of hopelessness and just dread about her. I kind of kept looking at her and, you know, looking down at my phone and doing some stuff and looking back up at her. And I just felt the Holy Spirit prompting me to get out of my chair. And by the way, I forgot to tell you, there were two empty chairs in this place. One was the one I sat in. The other was the one right next to her. I just felt God saying, you need to go over and talk to her. I'm like, what? first of all, I'm a man, she's a woman, I'm married, this is not going to look good. But we are in a room full of people, so, you know, maybe it'd be okay. I mean, I just could not get this pull away from my heart. So I actually got up and walked across this little room, and I sat down next to her. And I said, I know this sounds strange, but I said, my name is Phil. I'm a pastor here in Greenville. And I just kind of had a sense that I was supposed to come say hi to you and see if I could help you. She turned from looking at the floor and looked at me with this incredulous look. And a conversation began. She began kind of just telling me, yeah, you know, my car broke down and I was in the middle of this. And, you know, do you ever have one of those days? And I go, yeah, I do have those days. And she began just kind of slowly pouring out this story of her life, of how her husband had left her a while back, and just on and on and on. Before you know it, there's people in the waiting room who've like put down their magazines and they're kind of leaning over doing one of these like, man, what's this all about? Her name was Mary. I thought that was kind of cool. I was wanting to tell her about Jesus and her name was Mary. That was kind of cool. And listen, I'm talking about engaging our spirit giftedness. Long story short, fast forward, it got to the point where it was very clear that this woman had been beaten down her entire life and made to feel completely worthless. And now here her car is broken down, just one more thing on the pile of life. And before I could even stop myself from saying this, here's what the Holy Spirit got me to say to her. I can't believe I said this to a woman I just met 10 minutes before. But I looked at her and I said, Mary, you are a woman of great worth. And the whole time I'm thinking, what? What are you saying? I said, you are a woman of great worth. You were made in the image of God, and He loves you. No matter what anybody has told you your whole life, you're a woman of great worth. And God has a great purpose for your life. And she began to cry. People are really looking now. And she looked at me and she said, thank you. And before I had a chance to say anything else, the mechanic came through the door and called her name and said, we got you ready. And she was gone. And I'm such an idiot. I didn't even think to give her our church card or ask her if we could help. She was just gone. Now listen, I don't tell you that story to pat me on the back because I've missed more opportunities than I've taken. But that was a moment. Hey, you know what I did? I sat there and thought, I bet my car didn't break down here by coincidence. Thank you, God, for messing up my car and bringing me here to this room so that someone who needed hope could be touched with the hope that I have. Guys, listen, I'm not telling you to look at me from that example. What I mean, and you may never walk across a room and speak to a total stranger. I'm kind of crazy when it comes to stuff like that. But how does God want to use you to engage your spirit giftedness, the Holy Spirit inside of you? How does He want to use you to touch the lives of others? You see, when we begin to see what Christ has done for us by saving us as not just being for us, but that He saved us for the sake of others, that's when the whole Christian life takes on a whole new color. I mean it does. Christian life becomes more than just showing up at 10 o'clock Sunday morning. I guess I got to do that because I don't want to feel guilty. I guess I need to go. Maybe I can make it twice this month. I don't know. It depends on if I'm too tired. I'll just, you know, Christian life becomes bigger than that. It goes from black and white to color. When we begin to see why we're here, God saved us for more than just so we could miss hell when we die. Church, are you with me this morning? We were saved for more than just missing hell. Thank God for that benefit. But God wants us to get in step with Him here on this earth, to begin to engage with what He's doing and say, God, I'm available to You to move through me by Your Holy Spirit to do what You need to do. You know why? Listen, I want to wrap this up. We carry within us a remarkable treasure. Let me share this verse with you quickly. Colossians 1, 25 through 27. The Apostle Paul is writing, and he says, I have become its servant. He's talking about Christ's body and His mission through the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the Word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery. Watch this. Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. In fact, I want to put those words on the screen and leave them there for our last few minutes because I want those to soak in. God has taken this incredible mystery, which for generations before Christ came was kept hidden, and people just were like guessing at it and trying to look forward to it, and what does this mean, and how is this going to happen? And then Christ came, and He made this incredible mystery of salvation, of the gospel. He made it known to us. And Paul says that you and I carry around inside of us not just some cool religious ideas. Church, listen. As a follower of Christ, you and I carry in us the hope of the world. I don't know of any other time in just in my lifetime, certainly before my lifetime, there have been other times, but in my lifetime, I don't know of any other year where people seem to have a sense of hopelessness more than these past 14 or 15 months. When all the gods they were looking to all started to crumble around them and everything began to disappear. Everything they had their hope in, whether it was Wall Street or their 401k or a good steady job or whatever it happened to be, they're gone. They're gone. People are filled with hopelessness. I talk to them all the time. And what we need to remember, church, is that you and I carry within us the hope that they need. Now is the time for the church to shine. Now is the time for us as followers of Christ to get engaged with what God wants to do in the lives of people so that, listen, so that the hope in us can become the hope in them. Wow. That's what God wants. Perhaps the most important thing I could say to you this morning about spiritual gifts is that it's through us that Jesus is going to touch the people who need to be touched. And listen, if we are not engaging our spirit giftedness, the Holy Spirit, that hope that has been given to us and placed inside us, if we are not engaging that, then we are, in a sense, and I say this very cautiously, but we are, in a sense, limiting God's ability to touch the lives of others. What a sobering thought. Let me ask you two questions. Is there someone in your world, maybe a family member, a neighbor, a classmate, a co-worker, someone at a place of business you frequent? Is there someone in your world who could benefit from a caring encounter with Jesus Christ through you. Secondly, would you ask God right now to give you opportunities in your daily life for His love to be put on display through you to the people around you? You don't have to have a seminary degree to do that. Thank the Lord. You don't. God just wants you to engage the hope, the spirit that He's placed in you to touch the lives of others. Listen, gang, I want to tell you, God did not just make you to eat, sleep, and take up space. He really didn't. I believe with all my heart that God created you to make a difference, whoever you are, whatever your gifts are. There's nothing more exciting for me than to watch people really start to get this. Because as I told you a few weeks ago, I can stand up here and preach messages till I'm 88 years old. And it's not going to change a thing unless all of us begin to get into action and do what God wants us to do with our lives. Unless we begin pursuing God on our own. Unless we begin living connected with others who need Him. Unless we begin engaging our spirit giftedness to those around us. All the sermons in the world are a waste of time unless we do that, unless you do that. God made you to make a difference. God has wired you, listen to this, to unveil the kingdom of God in this world. You think you got a lot of responsibility on your job? That's a huge responsibility. What are we doing with it, church? What are we doing with it? Are we keeping that treasure in us locked up, closed off? Boy, it sure helps me get through life. And when I get to the thing on Sunday morning and, you know, I'm going to open it up again and I'll let some of it out. And then when I go out through my week, well, it's, you know, it's just me trying to do my thing and get through life. Oh, listen, God's bigger than that. We're all part of His mission, of what He wants to accomplish. And I'll tell you, when God's people begin to engage their spirit giftedness in this world to the people around them, that's when the world sits up and takes notice. The world says, leave your spouse. God says, stay with them. The world says, look out for number one. God says, take care of others. The world says, guard your money. God says, give it away. And when you and I begin living that way, I'm telling you, it messes with people. And they come like moths to a light, wanting to know what in the world is so weird and so different about you. You know why? Because of what the Bible says in Ecclesiastes, God has put eternity in their hearts too. They know there's something missing. Their compass needle points to God, but they may not even know what to do about that. I pray, LifePoint Church, I pray that God would take this body of believers and mobilize us during the week, that we would begin to pray for opportunities to engage our spirit giftedness so that the hope in us will become the hope in them. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you. For giving us that hope. We are so blessed. God, I pray that we would not be keepers of the light. I pray we'd be spreaders of the light. That those you place around us in our daily going would see the gospel in us and would be turned to you. Father, I ask you, as we did at the beginning of this service, if there's someone here today who knows about you, but they don't know you personally, I just pray right now in these quiet moments and in the few moments following where we worship you through song, I just ask you, Father, that they would open their heart to you and just simply call out to you and say, God, I need you. I've never given my life to you. I pray that someone this morning would be brought into the family of God and be saved. And may I just say to you this morning that if that's you, if you're here and you want to talk to somebody, I'll be at the back of the auditorium during the close of the service. If you'd like to talk more about where you are in life and what's going on and maybe what God's saying to you right now, you just slip back and come and talk to me or anyone else here. We're here for you. Father, I pray that this would be a message that does not slip off easily. I pray that we would wear this like a heavy coat, that we would feel its weight and its urgency. Father, forgive me for the multitude of times that I've missed chances to engage my spirit giftedness. But God, I pray that you would help me learn from those missed opportunities and give me an even greater passion to be used by you in the days ahead. And I pray that would be true for all of us. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to a broadcast from LifePoint Church in Greenville, South Carolina. If today's message has been an encouragement to you, would you consider partnering with this ministry to help reach more people with a life-changing message of Jesus Christ? Your financial gift would be a direct investment in changing lives for eternity by allowing us to continue spreading the gospel to people around the world. If God enables you to give, just visit our website at lifepointsc.org and click the online giving button. If you prefer to contact us by letter, you can write to us at P.O. Box 27036, Greenville, South Carolina, 29616, USA. Thanks again for listening and for your investment in the mission of Christ. Until next time, may God bless you as you continue to follow Him.
So come back to the light, to the love you will find. It's been here all along. So come back to the start and you'll find in your heart that you always belonged. So come back to the light.